And welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, park rangers for the City and Borough of Juneau, patrol recreation areas, trails, and campgrounds. But they also do a lot more. And joining us now to give an appreciation for all that's involved, Dale Gosnell, the lead park ranger for CBJ. Dale, thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Well, kind of that intro, which is that people think of park rangers and kind of probably have a pretty narrow view of what happens and what the responsibilities of the CBJ park rangers are. But how would you kind of sum up the kind of general responsibilities of what the park rangers have on their plate?
Yeah, the park ranger position started in 2001, and I was a seasonal park ranger starting back then. And it's really evolved over the years. And as we have added more recreation sites and become more diverse with our new Amalga cabin, public use cabin, for example, and our new ATV park that's being looked at out the road. There's a lot of opportunities for different kinds of recreation, and we have water places where we use boats to get to. Spoon Island is a natural park area, as well as
I mean, I was going to say, sorry to interrupt you there, but I was just going to say, well, as you list off things, the amount of area and the very different types of area that are in the city and borough of Juneau must be wildly different than what most city park, rangers usually are involved with. You know, when you talk about going out to islands, they're literally in the Pacific Ocean.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
It is amazing. And I did work in Alaska for 9 years as a seasonal park ranger for the National Park Service. And there you have a very discreet big chunk of land with defined boundaries. And here, we have this linear land that extends from Thane Road all the way out to the northern part of the road system and over at Douglas as well. On both ends of the road in Douglas. So, yeah, there's a lot of land. There's a lot of small trails, beach access trails. There's a lot. We have about 50 miles of trails, and park rangers walk the trails. We're kind of the eyes and ears of the park, and we get kind of back in off the road system, and look around. We do trail maintenance. We cooperate with Trail Mix and help them do some of their work. They've done a lot of work on Perseverance Trail this summer, and we've gotten a lot of good feedback from people who are appreciative of the work that Trail Mix has been doing back there.
Can you give me an update on that trail specifically? What's been happening back in Perseverance?
Yeah, well, we have 5 wooden bridges before the, the double metal bridge.
Yeah.
And those bridges have been failing over the years, and they're addressing some of those failures with either new bridges or culvert and rock to replace the old bridges. There's a lot of erosion. There's a couple spots where Gold Creek is eroding the trail pretty severely. So
just kind of changing course a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
right.
Kind of eating into the trail. So they placed gabion, which are these wire baskets that are maybe 6 feet by 3 by 3, and they're full of rocks, and then they tie them together with hog rings and create this wall of rock to sort of divert the water away from the trail. So they've been doing that as well, and some work was done on Red Mill Trail last weekend. One of our park rangers helped the Juneau Mountain Bike Alliance do some work on that trail. That's a popular kind of single-track opportunity for biking off the Perseverance Trail system.
That's an interesting part of your world as well, which is that these kind of activities start becoming popular, new activities come, like what's the next new activity? I must be in your mind all the time. And right now it seems like these pump tracks or single tracks, that kind of thing is something
right.
That's really gained a lot of popularity.
Yeah, with cooperation. Well, basically the JMBA helped put in this pump park and Cope Park,
yeah.
Which is really popular with kind of a nice way for kids to learn how to it's small, but it's perfect for smaller.
I see kids using it all the time. Every time I go park, it's definitely getting used.
Right. So mountain biking has certainly grown in popularity over the years. Disc golf is another example. Mm-hmm. We've kind of repurposed Antioch, which is out near Lena Cove. It was an old ball field, but it never really got used for ball playing because of the wind and how far away it is. But it's now a disc golf, and that's really popular.
It's popular. I use it. It's great.
Yeah.
I love that course. It's really fun.
And then Treadwell Historic Mine Site has a golf, a putting setup that they're kind of experimenting with. Things evolve. On a sunny day, Aka Lake is California. I mean, it's amazing.
Right.
People on stand-up paddle boards and kayaks and all manner of inflatable things from the store. Inflatable pizza slices and waffles and all kinds of.
Now let me ask you: is now out by out North Douglas? That whole rainforest trail, is that CBJ?
Yes.
That is? Now, okay, let's talk about that beaver.
Sure. Yeah.
That is fascinating to me. Every time I'm on that trail, it seems like there's a battle against the beavers in that lake, right?
Yeah, that's on the Outer Point Trail.
Right.
And we learned from John Hudson he's put in some of these beaver deceivers, as they're called, or pond levelers, at different locations for Seal Trust. And I know there's Forest Service has tried using them at Dredge Lake. But, it's kind of an experiment. And I think the beavers call it a ranger deceiver because I think they have the upper hand at the moment.
Beavers have their own code.
Right,
Well, but they've been there a long time.
They
know what they're doing.
it's kind of plugged up, and it may have gotten damaged by the ice last winter, but it's not really flowing. They're attracted by the sound and sensation of moving water.
That's what I understand.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's just that's what they do. And if they hear running water, it drives them.
Get compulsive about it. Yeah.
Yeah. They have to stop it at any cost. So we may actually probably – might try elevating that walkway a little bit more and see if we can deceive the beavers in another way, or at least live with them. They create a lot of good habitat. There's all kinds of great wildlife out there. There's coho salmon in that pond, believe it or not.
Little
fingerlings. Yeah, and there's kingfishers are attracted. There's sculpins there.
Well, I also really appreciate the opportunity to observe a beaver.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's like you could – They somehow have kind of gotten a little bit habituated to people walking by.
Yeah.
So they'll look at you, but if you're quiet, they will go about their business. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. We set up a trail cam, and it's fascinating to see how, they almost have these prehensile fingers and hands, and they kind of clump together mud and kind of waddle over and pack it in place. These waddle and daub kind of, dams that are really – we've tried – taking them apart to adjust this beaver receiver thing. And it's just really difficult. That's just so tightly packed. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about evolution and the wonders of that process. I mean, it's incredible. Well, anyway, we could talk on and on about this, but I wanted to just thank you very much. Is there anything else you wanted to cover very quickly? We're going to talk to Brenda right here in just a second as well. But anything else you want to talk about as far as what's going on with parks?
I think that about covers it.
Okay.
I just wanted to make one little observation for folks about the Mill Campground that people have a lot of questions about that. And that's basically a city-run campground that's mostly used by people who don't have other options for shelter. And it's really quite full this summer, and I think it's kind of an indication of kind of post-pandemic dislocation and also, housing's more expensive and people who might be somewhat marginalized are kind of forced to find other accommodation. So it's just a seasonal campground, and the land is actually owned by the power company, and we have an agreement with them to run this seasonal campground with 20 spaces. It's got raised platforms, and we have drinking water and tanks and hand-washing station and restrooms and little canopies with picnic tables and a fire ring, and we bring up firewood as well. But it's another kind of resource for the folks that you may see around town who don't have a lot of options for housing. So,
well, it's interesting. It really goes back to what you were saying about the kind of comprehensive nature of being a part of the city. And, you know, you're running parks and recreation, but it's not just in one little corner of the, you know, of the town. It's the entire town, and having to consider
right.
the needs of all the citizens
right.
Here is part of your job. And that's one of the things that's come along as a
right.
as a part of a solution, I guess.
Yeah, it's not a park and it's not recreation, and but yet, you know, it's a service that's needed. And and often people who are unhoused look to public land to camp on if they don't have other options. So we're providing a space for them rather than, you know, a park or a trail, and giving them a place to pitch a tent and restroom accommodations and drinking water and firewood and that sort of thing. And also bear-proof food storage that are lockable as well.
Well, Dale, thanks for taking the time to talk to us about this stuff. You got a full plate, and I'm sure summer probably—I don't know—I'm guessing summer's sort of a busy part of the year, but maybe every part of the year is busy.
Yeah, it's just busy in a different way.
Yeah,
but
right. Well, Dale Gosnell is the lead ranger for CBJ. Dale, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.